All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, March 6th of 2025. And looking ahead here, we had golf tee off earlier this morning. Good luck to all of you with your golf lineups this weekend. We have a 9-game NHL main slate tonight, as well as a 6-game NBA main slate. Should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up here, and we will start with questions. We didn't have any questions in the Office Hours channel, but do have a couple here in the YouTube chat. So we will start there and then just kind of see where we go from there. So first question from Jay Sam Jr. Question says, how much does ownership change for players or teams that have no questionable players on their team also when it comes to projection? So the biggest thing to be aware of is going to be, are the starters the expected starters? And we basically assume certain players are going to start, right? Like, let's say, you know, we go to the Lakers, right? And we have, okay, Luka. It usually kind of goes by like projection or even minutes, maybe. It's like, okay, Luka, LeBron, Reeves, Jackson Hayes, and then it looks like we're Dorian Finney-Smith, right, is the fifth. So, like, we're basically predicting these five guys start. Now, for some reason, you know, no questionables here, right, for the Lakers, but let's say that all of a sudden, you know, the Lakers head coach decides that instead of starting Dorian Finney-Smith, maybe he wants to start Jared Vanderbilt instead, right? If that happens, I would call that a surprise starter is announced, then projections will change, right? But if the expected starting five ends up being the actual starting five, then I would say you can expect minimal changes, right? You know, we are already predicting these guys are going to start. So if they're just confirmed, well, there's really not that much to change at that point. So as long as nobody gets ruled out, as long as there are no surprise starters, you can expect projections and ownership to stay very, very similar. All right, two questions. Do you adjust player projections as part of your lineup builds? If not, does that affect SaberSim's system in a negative way? Okay, so first part is, do I adjust projections as part of my lineup building process? The answer to that is yes, I do like to adjust projections. I like to, you know, research teams and see how teams play with certain people on or off the court and, you know, injury situations and things like that, right? And try and get some additional edge from some uncertain situations, right? So, like, for instance, let's see what tonight looks like. Pretty low value slate. You know, yesterday we saw like 9 values, 8 values, 7 values, right? Nobody under 6 or nobody over 6, right? So that tells me like there's probably not a ton here, but yesterday there was, right? And so, like, let's say that, you know, we were looking at Utah yesterday, right? And Utah had like a bunch of players out. Well, I might spend a little bit of extra time looking at Utah in order to try and figure out, hey, who do I think is going to benefit the most from this situation? Remember that, you know, models are better when they have more data, right? So the less data points that they have, the more opportunity there is to add value to the system, right? And that is like where I will try to adjust projections the most. Second part was it basically asking, does adjusting projections affect SaberSim in a negative way? So the answer is no. So basically what happens when you adjust projections, right? For instance, we pull up Luka projected for 56 points. Maybe you think he's going to score 60, right? You have a feeling he's going to do better than we're predicting. So what we do is we take his graph, which you see here, and we basically shift it right or left, depending if your change is positive or negative. And then we move it to where his new mean projection matches your mean projection. Okay. So you're getting our range of outcomes with your average projection. So you kind of get the best of both worlds there. Now, as far as projection adjustments, things to be aware of, right? If you're using contest sims, projection adjustments are taken into account in the pre-contest sim, okay? So in your builds, when you're running your contest sims, we are accounting for your average projection, right? So if you bump Luka by 4 points, well, that affects his outcomes in the contest sim, which affects the your spot in the standings, which affects, you know, the payouts in the contest, right? So all that gets taken into account. Now, if you are using contest flashback and you are going back and reviewing your lineups and how you did in your contest, the post-contest sim, as we call it, does not take into account your custom projections. The post-contest sim only uses the SaberSim baseline projections. So if, you know, you are making this adjustment on Luka, well, SaberSim, you know, is going to grade out your lineups as if Luka has the projection that SaberSim is showing, not your updated projection. So just be aware that if you are making projection adjustments, whether you're manually doing stuff, whether you're uploading custom projections, aggregating, any type of thing like that, the further you move away from SaberSim projections, the more you should anticipate a slight drop in post-contest sim ROI. So, you know, I tell people like who aggregate or upload, like, hey, you know, if you are near the top, right, you are doing very well. Like, imagine if you were only using SaberSim's projections, you'd probably be even higher, right? So I would say if you're aggregating, uploading, you might not be first in the sim ROI standings, but you should still try and be toward the top, and that's a pretty normal thing to happen. So that is projections kind of in a nutshell. All right, next question here. The link to Discord tells me unable to accept invite. I will drop one here. So why don't I grab one real quick. Try this one. I will drop it in the YouTube chat and see how that one works. So apologies about that. All right. We are caught up with our initial questions here. So why don't we jump into a slate demo? So if I was building lineups for today's 6-game NBA main slate, what would I be doing, right? Well, first thing, right, I always talk about getting familiar with the slate. We kind of already did that, right? Lower value slate here. Lower value slates are interesting because sometimes players with, you know, middling value end up getting tons of ownership, right? So I like to be conscious of that and you know, maybe even take like a little bit more like game theory angle here and just like be aware of that, right? So like, you know, this very high ownership for like Turner and Nembhard, you know, it's almost because like there's just not that many other great options, but it leaves some opportunities, right? So I'm noting those things. Other ways we've talked about getting familiar with the slate is going team by team if you want and like looking at which players are out and which players are in, right? I've talked about a projection filter, just something small. And then I like to rename them. That way I know what they are and I can reuse them on future slates. And just trying to see the guys that are like most likely to play here and just get a sense, right? So Chicago, right? Some questionables. This is another good reason for going team by team. You can kind of get an idea of like what teams you might want to keep an eye on, right? So like Giddy, Huerter, Williams, all questionable. Go to Orlando. Cole Anthony's questionable. And then, you know, it's like, who does that benefit, right? Okay, well, Cole Anthony's a point guard. And then I scroll down here on the bench. Looks like maybe Anthony Black would benefit the most, right? So you can kind of know like where to look for value if players get rolled out or not. Edwards looks like a bench player already. Jason Tatum, right? Questionable here. That's a big deal. Jaylen Brown's out. So probably like maybe some value here, you know, especially if Tatum gets ruled out, right? Even Hauser, like if Hauser gets ruled out, if Tatum gets ruled out, looks like some of these guys were just ruled out, right? A bunch of guys just ruled out. They still have minutes here, so we haven't run an updated sim. But Porzingis out, Horford out, Jrue Holiday out, Jaylen Brown out, Jason Tatum possibly out, right? Like, wow, you know, I bet you White and Pritchard projections are probably going to shoot up. Hauser too, probably going to shoot up. And, you know, so like Boston would be somebody I'm keeping my eye on, right? Maybe you're looking at this earlier in the day. Well, you know, you're making notes, you know what to go back and check, right? So this is exactly what I would do if I were trying to get familiar with the slate. And, you know, you could do it for all the teams, right? Write it down on pen and paper, write it down on a Word doc, Excel doc, whatever you want to do, right? Today's notes. So anyways, once I'm kind of through with that process, right, getting familiar with the slate, basically ready to build my lineups. So always build the max number of lineups you can. A little bit smaller slate here, like six games. So normally I talk about increasing minimum salary. I might just do like a little 500 bump instead of like 1,000 here, just because the slate is a little bit smaller. And then I'm ready to rock and roll, right? Going to come up here and build some lineups. In the meantime, quick new link says the same thing. So I just pulled that one from Discord. So I'm not 100% sure what's happening. What you could do is send us an email and we could work with you on it and try and figure out why it's not working. But if you just send an email to support@sabersim.com, which I put in the chat here, our support team can work on that with you and figure out how to get you in. All right. So jumping back to this build. So the build finished, right? Still got to come upload our entries file, right? Which will basically create contest sims for us. And then we'll see our contest in here. We'll see all of our sim settings get filled out. And then we can jump back to our build. All right. Run contest sim button is grayed out. It's like a bug. So got a hard refresh that'll make it active again. And it's green now. Cool. So going to kick that off. Going to come in here, get my columns the way I like them. So I like to see sort by exposure, see my leverage, see my pool, and then set up my aggregate metrics once the sim finishes, right? So notice it goes by target ROI automatically. As long as you have an entry file uploaded, you're all set there. But anyways, because I have a custom one, I'm going to sort by ROI. Got my average projection, going to aggregate metric, going to set up my average ROI one. And now I'm about ready, right? We do this for the $4.20 max. So we have projection, we have ROI, we have our 20 lineups sorting correctly. We can see what our highest exposures are. And we can go from here, right? So one thing, like right off the bat, right? Pretty flat exposures, pretty flat leverages. That's kind of expected in a lower value slate, right? Builds are going to get a little bit more spread out. Some leverages, but not a ton, right? So let's start bumping up our uniques, going 1 to 2 here, going 2 to 3. We're down like half a point in projection, maybe like 10% ROI. Not so bad. 4 gets us down 15% ROI. This still looks pretty good, all things considered. What were we at 1? Yeah. At 4 uniques, we're down about 10% ROI. And we're at about the same projection. So this is great, right? You come in here like, hey, I've guaranteed diversification in my lineups by setting my mini uniques to 4, which means that every lineup is going to have at least 4 players different from every other lineup that I'm playing. And I haven't sacrificed any projection. I've sacrificed a very small amount of ROI. And my highest exposed players are 50%. And there's only 2 of those. And then everyone else is 35 or less. And my leverages are really, really flat, right? Nobody over 20% leverage. You could definitely keep going with the uniques if you wanted to. I'm super happy with this, right? I like these leverages. I like taking some stands. I like letting the builder do its thing and find, you know, where some of the best plays of the day are. But if you wanted to be flatter, right, you can go up to 5. You could try 6, right? I don't know how far it's going to let you go. But for me, 4 is the right number, right? Maybe somebody else, you know, 3 is the right number. Maybe somebody else, 5 is the right number. You got to figure out what your risk tolerance is and, you know, manage your lineups accordingly. But this is how I would be making those decisions about, you know, where I ultimately want to end off. And as far as like, you know, increasing my mini uniques further and further and further. So that's what I would be doing if I were building lineups for today's slate. But with that said, we knocked out these questions in the YouTube chat and didn't get any questions in the office hour channel, which is okay, but we just did our slate demo as well. So I think we're about to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next office hour show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.